Well, welcome to the Moral and Ethical Leadership Podcast, hosted by the BYU Management Society Salt Lake Chapter. I'm Dave Austin.
And I'm Kurt Frankum.
And we each week get the amazing opportunity to speak with a voice of light. And boy, do we have a wonderful voice of light to speak with us today. Brother Brad Wilcox was sustained as second counselor in the Young Men General Presidency on April 4th, 2020. Brad is a professor in the Department of Ancient Scripture at Brigham Young University. He is the author of the book, The Continuous Atonement, and the BYU devotional, His Grace is Sufficient. Brad grew up in Provo, Utah, except for childhood years spent in Ethiopia, Africa. He served a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Chile, and later returned to that country to preside over the Chile Santiago East Mission from 2003 to 2006. He and his family have also lived for a time in New Zealand and Spain, where he directed study abroad programs for Brigham Young University. Brad has served as a member of the Sunday School General Board from 2009 to 2014. And I should say, too, he also served as mine and my wife's former bishop, and we had a wonderful time in his ward. Brad and his wife, Debbie, have 4 children and 8 grandchildren. Reading, writing, teaching, and traveling are some of his favorite things. He loves peanut M&Ms and pepperoni pizza, but he realizes that doesn't sound too healthy, so he is really trying hard to learn to love salads. Brad, welcome and thank you.
Thank you. It's hard to love salads at Christmas time. I'm having a really hard time. I'm putting peanut M&Ms on my salad and calling them croutons. Dave, I remember when you and I think it was your fiance at the time. I don't think you were quite married yet. And I remember when you two were in the ward, and I loved that.
Oh, I loved it. Fond memories. So thank you so much for all of your service. And Brother Wilcox, I guess I would just ask, what a year this has been. Tell us about you and tell us what it was like to be called into the Young Men General Presidency for the church.
Oh, wow. It started in March. It started the day that the world fell apart. I mean, you remember the day they closed BYU. It was March 12th, and they closed BYU, and they closed church, and they closed everything. And my phone was just ringing off the hook because people were saying, hey, we're going to have to cancel this fireside, or we're going to have to cancel this meeting. And then I was driving up to BYU to figure out how we were going to finish classes because they said we were going to do it on Zoom. I had never heard of Zoom in my life. And so I was going up there to try to figure out how I could finish classes, and the phone rang again, and it was Elder Cook's office, and the secretary said that Elder Cook wanted to meet with me the following Sunday with my wife. Well, boy, that just sent me into a little tailspin, and that night I came home, but my house was full of grandkids. I didn't even have the chance to talk to Debbie about it until all the grandkids left. And then I said, honey, we've got an appointment to meet with Elder Cook this Sunday. She said, you're going to be called to the Young Men General Presidency. I said, no, honey. I said, if it were going to be a call like that, I think it would come from the First Presidency. And then she said, I think the First Presidency is a little busy right now. And sure enough, they were, and they had asked Elder Cook to extend the call, and so it was quite a turning point. I mean, ordinarily, we would have gone up for conference in the conference center, but instead, because of COVID, everybody was just staying home, and so I was home, and we had my daughter and her husband and their little baby come over between conference for a little brunch, and then we sat down for this afternoon session, and they started reading the names. And my daughter heard Steve Lund, who's the new Young Men president. And she said, oh, my gosh, I know him. I did an interview for him. I interviewed him for my class at BYU. And she was totally missed my name. Totally missed it. And then her husband kind of jabbed her and said, I think they just called your dad to something. She says, no, they wouldn't call my dad because he's just sitting here eating scones. and then he said, no, I think they just called him. And then she looked at me and I said, yeah, they just called me. And so then it was sweet. We just had a sweet hug, and it's been an amazing experience. I learned so much. I now know how to run Zoom, and a lot of our meetings and firesides and things are via Zoom. And I'm grateful for those technologies. But I cannot wait until we can gather again. I just can't wait till we can gather with the youth. The youth can gather. I can't wait till we can have FSY. I can't wait till we can have youth conferences and girls camps and Aaronic priesthood camps. The youth need it. They need that so much. So I'm grateful for technology. I'm grateful for the chance it gives us to stay in touch. But I am just praying my guts out for the day when we'll be able to go back to the temple and back to church as a whole ward, not little groups, but we can gather together as a whole group. I look forward to those hugs. I look forward to those handshakes. I look forward to the strength that comes as we gather in numbers. And I look forward to the youth finally realizing that they're not alone, that this hard year, this hard experience has ended. It's been hard for those who've lost their lives, the families of those who've lost their lives. It's been hard for those who've been sick. It's been hard for the medical workers. But my heart right now is with the youth, and it's been hard for them.
Yeah.
It's been hard for them. They felt very isolated and very alone. And I can't wait till we can just wrap our arms around them and let them know that they're not out there alone. They're here, and we are together in Christ. And this battalion that the Lord has called them into through his prophet is huge. They need to feel that.
Yeah. Brad, you mentioned during the Christmas devotional for the BYU Management Society about, just the emphasis on the new youth program, that maybe some of the details are getting lost in the craziness of the shutdown and pandemic and whatnot. Now that you've had several months to be, have a new perspective of and be closer to the youth program, what encouragement or advice would you give to youth leaders out there who are striving to really implement this effectively in their own units?
Thank you, Kurt. When I was called, I had been called to the High Council and then given the assignment to be the young men president in my state. And one of the first questions I had was, why? Why do I have to be on the High Council to be the young men president? And why did they do away with ward young men presidents? What's with that? Like, the bishop's not busy enough. There's not enough on that poor man's plate. And now we have to put him in charge of that too. What I've learned is that it's an issue of keys. See, the young men presidents at the stake, at the ward level, they were all about scouting, but we're not involved with scouting anymore. And so we have been able to bring, the brethren have been able to bring those callings back in line with the keys. Now the young men president at the stake, by being a member of the High Council, he's working directly under the keys of the stake president. And the bishops have the keys for the Aaronic priesthood, and they have the keys to work with the youth. And so we've brought that back in alignment with the keys. And we're going to see that there's a lot of power in that. They say that prior to this, that church-wide, the average time that a man was in the calling of young men president was about 9 months. And young people are staying in the church or leaving the church because of relationships and lack of relationships. If they have positive relationships with leaders and church members, they stay. And if they struggle to maintain those relationships, it's harder for them to stay. Bishops are usually in for 5 years. And so even though there's a lot on their plate, the way things are structured now, they hopefully can push away from them some of the responsibilities that have been theirs in the past. And they can push those responsibilities to Relief Society presidencies and to Elders Quorum presidencies. And they can take up this responsibility to be able to serve and work with the youth. And that can be a long-term relationship that can help keep our youth strong. Years ago, culturally, the bishop's job was fundraising. Do you remember those days? They always had a fundraiser for ward budget and temple funds and building funds. And I mean, it just seemed like every time the bishop spoke, he was asking for money. That's how I grew up. Then when that wasn't a job the bishop needed to do anymore, then suddenly culturally, we've turned the bishop into a free counselor. He can work with all the divorcing couples and all the struggling couples, and he can work with everybody who's struggling with problems. Now, we still go to the bishop when we need his keys in as a matter of confessing. But when it comes to counseling, there are so many other people who can step in and take that load off the bishop's shoulders, which then gives him the opportunity to take on his new role. Culturally, I hope the bishop will be seen as a mission president for the youth. I don't want him to be seen as the babysitter. Oh, now the bishop has to go pick up the donuts for the activity. No, there are advisors and specialists and that can help with that. But I hope the bishop will see himself, and that we will see the bishop as a mission president. We don't see a mission president as babysitting a bunch of young single adults and having little activities for them. We see that mission president doing the work of salvation and exaltation. And those missionaries aren't a burden to him. Those missionaries are his arms as he reaches out and does the work of salvation and exaltation through them. And that's what we want the youth to be. We want the youth to be his missionaries. We want him to use those youth to do the work. We don't want him to do the work over here and then every now and then have a party for the teenagers. We want him to do the work of salvation and exaltation through the teenagers. And that's when I think we'll start capturing the vision of the new youth program.
That's awesome. You know, Bishop, you've talked about how this is a difficult year. Obviously, it's an incredibly difficult year for so many. But in your talk just recently, you mentioned that God made suffering a required course, but growth he made optional. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. You know, in the devotional, I shared an experience with a young woman up in Portland. It was during a question and answer. And she said, "If this is the plan of happiness, why am I so miserable? # false advertising." And I had to tell her, and I told everyone who was listening in the Christmas devotional, that it's not false advertising, that this is the plan of happiness, not because we're all perfectly happy, but because we are happily being perfected. If you look at the footnote that goes with the famous verse in 2 Nephi 2 that says man is that he might have joy. If you look at the footnote, it says potential to become like Heavenly Father. That's joy, but that's not always easy. Joy and easy aren't the same thing. Happiness and easy aren't always the same thing. If we recognize that this is a school, then we have to recognize that some of the courses are hard. But we also have to recognize that we have a Heavenly Father who helps us with our homework. And we also have to recognize that we can choose to learn through the very hard things that happen in our life. COVID has been difficult. It's been difficult. Man, people have suffered emotionally as well as physically. I mean, some people say, gosh, what's the trade-off? You know, if we're trying to keep COVID deaths from going up, but we see suicides going up dramatically, what's the trade-off? And I guess we just have to realize that as difficult as it gets, as hard as it gets, Jesus Christ is the solution to the problem. And as we turn to him, as we choose Christ, as we choose a different perspective, as we choose growth, as we choose learning, then no matter how hard it gets, all things can work together for our good.
Yeah. Are you seeing anything from your perspective with the Young Men's General Presidency? Are you hearing stories or things that youth are doing during this time that feel like a time of suffering, that they're being proactive in maybe bringing more light to the world when some people see a lot of darkness?
Yeah. Isn't it interesting to watch our missionaries? I mean, I have kids that say to me, oh, this is a lousy time to serve a mission. But if you ask most of the missionaries, they say this is a great time to serve a mission because they're having to get so creative. I mean, it's amazing to watch them. Years ago, missionaries would go on a mission and then look to the mission president and say, now, what do we do? Now the mission president's looking to the youth and saying, okay, so what do we do? And those young missionaries are taking charge. And we actually are seeing that some of the missions are baptizing more during this COVID time than they were baptizing before. I got to speak to the missionaries in Phoenix, and I met a young lady who had been in Peru, retransferred to Phoenix. I met another sister who had been called there to Phoenix, but they were teaching a man all over the internet, and he had just joined the church. He joined us in the call, and I got to ask about his conversion. He was going to some big mega Christian church, and when they closed the church, his pastor said, could you please take a list of names and call these people, find out if they're okay? He said, oh, yeah, I'd be happy to help. So he starts calling these people, and they were saying, who the heck are you? Why are you calling me? Who are you? Well, I'm from your church. I don't know you. Quit calling me. He says, oh, my gosh, I thought that I was in a community of Christians that was going to pull together when times got hard. He says, no. He says, I was so disappointed. He says, I remembered a friend of mine who was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. And he says, he was always really engaged in his community. So he says, I called and checked with the church, and they put me in touch with these two sister missionaries who started teaching him. And then he was baptized. His comment to me was classic. He said, you know, not only have I found the community that I was missing, but I have found the Christ that I was missing. He said, I've realized that I didn't know Christ as well as I should have. He said, I grew up thinking that Mormons worshiped a different Jesus. He says, now I understand they just have a different foundation. They have a different understanding of the same Jesus. And he says, I realized I was missing that understanding. Oh my gosh, that's the kind of stuff that's happening all over the world. So yeah, this is a great time for these youth because they can get creative, and they have gotten creative. There's a stake in Salem, Utah that started having presidency meetings every week for their youth presidencies because they said, hey, what the heck are we doing? COVID hit and all of a sudden we haven't had a presidency for a meeting for months. They said, we're going to have presidency meetings and we're going to go through the leadership lessons that are on the resources for presidencies on Gospel Library. So every month, every week they were meeting, they were going through these leadership lessons, and man, those presidencies starting to function. And they just have, it's been amazing to watch what's happened as they have reached out, as they have taken responsibility for the young people in their care. Just as bishops and Relief Society presidents and stake presidents have taken responsibility for the people in their care. Have stake presidencies stopped meeting because of COVID? No, they're meeting more. Why? Well, because what they're doing is important. And youth presidencies are catching that vision. And they're saying, hey, what we're doing is important too. So you've got a young kid in Salem, Utah, that's driving down the road and sees a kid in his quorum. And he says, you know what? I need to stop and minister to him. Those are the words he used. He stops his car. He goes over and talks to this kid. He ministers to him. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
We have a little deacon's quorum up in Idaho that said, we're going to plan an activity. And it'll be a small group because it's just our quorum, but we're afraid that nobody will come. So the presidency got together and made cookies. The dad of one of the kids in the presidency is driving home, sees these boys out on their bikes, and he's like, hey, boys, where are you going? We're going to all of our quorum members' houses. We're taking them cookies so they come to the activity on Wednesday. And this dad is like, what? What? He says, who told you to do that? They says, we decided in our presidency meeting. Oh my gosh. Just like the missionaries are getting creative and taking responsibility, our youth presidencies are meeting and they're taking responsibility and they're saying, hey, the church isn't closed just because we can't meet in large groups. We are still in business. And by hang, we're still about this. There was a girl in Colorado Springs. And I was talking to some of the youth from this particular ward. And this girl was 16 years old. And she kept talking about my girls. Well, my girls are doing this. Well, my girls are doing that. My girls. And finally, I thought, is this the young women president? No, she's just the class president of the oldest girls class. And yet she has taken such ownership for those girls that she calls them my girls, as if she were the young women president. Now that's exciting. This is a great time for the youth because they are really having to step up to the plate. We need a few more of them to do it, but they are taking it and they're running with it.
And to that point, my son is actually serving a mission right now. And I will say he's our first, but I've heard a few people that have said, hey, why is the church sending missionaries out right now? And it's to your point, Bishop, he said that they will never go back. The mission president said they'll never go back to the way they used to do missionary work because they're having so much more success now.
Well, think about it. I mean, nobody wants a vacuum cleaner salesman to come to his door. Nobody's going to open up the door for a stranger. Yeah. But people will pour their whole stinking hearts out on social media. It's crazy. But they will communicate with others on social media, and they'll open their hearts on social media when they won't open their doors to a stranger. Nope. So, yeah, we've stepped into a whole new world. And maybe COVID, if there's going to be a silver lining, maybe it's that it's helping our youth and our missionaries really start recognizing that it doesn't have to be the same old, that they can do things in a new way and it can be effective.
Something else that you talked about that I wanted to ask you about briefly, the quote I wrote down is, it's called the plan of happiness because we're being happily perfected. Can you talk about that and maybe how grace fits into that?
Yeah, I think for a long time we were a little nervous as church members to mention the word grace because we didn't want to go clear over to the extreme where some Christians have taken that doctrine. But we have to realize that it is our doctrine. It is a doctrine of the restoration. It has been restored in its fullness. Right in section 20 of the Doctrine and Covenants, which people call the Constitution of the Church, right where we read the sacrament prayers, it says, we are justified by grace. We are sanctified by grace. And I think we are perfected by grace. When people say, have you been saved by grace? It usually launches us into a big debate about, well, you believe in grace. We don't believe in grace. And no. Grace is common ground. Grace is a shared doctrine. They believe they're dependent on Jesus Christ for salvation. We believe we're dependent on Jesus Christ for salvation. So the word that should spark the discussion is not grace, but saved. That's where we're different. Have you been saved by grace? For many Christians, that just means getting to the other side of the wall of heaven. That's all it is. But for us, we recognize that salvation is much bigger than that. That it doesn't just include getting to heaven, but it includes becoming heavenly. It doesn't just include going back to God, but becoming more like him. That's a salvation that's massive. And it takes every ounce of grace that we can receive. because we're not just being saved by grace in the sense that we are going back to heaven. We're being changed by grace. We're being transformed by grace. We're becoming more like Christ by grace. And that's a view of salvation that we embrace and that we hope to share with others.
And during your devotional, Brother Wilcox, you mentioned that your birthday is on December 25th, and that your mom was always diligent in having a Christmas tree and also a Brad tree, and now you continue that tradition in your own home. But I'm curious how, you know, obviously the world struggles with commercialism during this time, you know, and gifts and things, and I'm sure it adds a new layer of that with having a birthday on that day. So share maybe how you, any traditions or behaviors or routines you have that keeps Christ at the center of your Christmas experience.
Yeah, I'll share. If I don't make you seasick, I'm going to walk you very carefully over. I'll show you. Here's the Christmas tree. And then I'll walk you over here. Stick with me. I'll bring you over here and I'll show you the birthday tree right there. And then we have ornaments on those trees. And some of the ornaments are handmade. Some of them are store-bought. But most of the ornaments are reminders of Jesus Christ. I love the ornaments that we have that have different names of Christ. Messiah, Advocate, Beloved Son, the Lamb of God. I love the ornaments that have the names of Christ on it. I also have some BYU ornaments up there too, with the Y on it. So I got to make sure I get those in there too. But I think the thing that was always cool about having a birthday on Christmas is that my mom would always kind of remind me of her experience in having me. See, I don't know that sparks, you know, most people's birthday doesn't spark a discussion or a memory of mom giving birth. It usually just means a day to celebrate. But because it was Christmas, mom would always, not always, but every now and then, you know, she'd tell the story of how she went into labor on the 24th and how my brothers were just panicked because they were little, but they were panicked because they were going to have to sleep at grandma's house and Santa would not be able to find them at grandma's house. And then how my dad took her to the hospital and how she gave birth to me right on the 25th. And she said, you know, Brad, she said, your birth just blew all of my images of Christmas out of the water. She said, I'd always pictured Mary serenely dressed in blue, holding the baby in her arms. She says, no. Now she says, I realized that whatever Mary was wearing, it was dirty. and that birth was messy. And she said, suddenly what Mary and Joseph went through became very real to me. And she said, another thing, she said, it blew the Christmas carols out of the water for her because she says, I'd always used to sing, Little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. She says, no, you cried. And she says, I'd always pictured this perfect little baby that didn't cry. But then she said, but having you on Christmas made me realize that Jesus did cry. He entered fully into humanity. His condescension was complete. And so I don't know, that birthday on Christmas hasn't just allowed for some fun traditions, but it really did allow me to focus on the condescension of Christ and realize that this was a very real thing. It wasn't just a story. It's not a fable. It's not a myth. It's a very real thing with a real heavenly father and a real earthly mother and a real baby who came to make a real difference.
Well, Brad, Bishop, thank you. I still want to call you Bishop.
That's all right. You know, by the time you get to be my age, you collect a lot of titles through the years.
We are so grateful for you, for your time. I know that you have so much going on, and thank you for being willing to be with us and share
Send my love to your missionary. Good grief. I remember you and your wife before that missionary was even born.
Can you believe it's 20 years later?
I can't believe it. You just send my love to that missionary.
I will do that. Thank you so much. And thank you to all of our listeners. We'll be back again next week with another episode of Voices of Light. Have a great week.